the preeminence of Christ in missions. Send the light, part two. We begin from verse 2 to verse 4. Pray for open door. That was the Apostle Paul's prayer as he was there in the Roman prison. And his desire was that the name of Christ be glorified. And how can that be? Well, that he would fulfill the purpose of his call of God to speak, he says, of the mystery of Christ. He was there as a prisoner because he was witnessing to the person of Christ, and there he continued that work. Although he was imprisoned, well, he was also taking time to exhort and encourage the church that was in many different parts of Asia Minor, and Colossae is one of them, in which he writes this prison epistle, we said. And we begin with speaking concerning his prayer for an open door. And he says that to go in and complete and do the work, it has to be spirit-led, and there ought to be an urgency. Verse 5 of our text, which will be our focus today, it says here, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. The word walk is what we say in the present active imperative. It's a command to be continually led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 verse 16 says, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk means to make progress, to regulate one's life, one's conduct. And it's a command, it appeals to the will. We are to do our part, and we are to do so continually, all the time, without letting up. Let us take the step of walking with God. When we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the phrase there, will not fulfill, not only prohibits the occurrence of the action, but it does not allow it to even begin. When we walk in the Spirit, right, we will never fulfill the lust of the flesh, because the Spirit will guide us to walk rightly. So this word to walk has a sense of submission and yielding ourselves to God's truth. And it's not to count the evil that others have done to us, but to forgive. It's a choice that we have to make, to submit ourselves to God's truth. It's a command to choose correctly, continually. So here, Paul is saying to the church, walk in wisdom. It refers to the realm of godliness that befits a child of God. Finding wisdom with God begins with his fear. Obedience to God's word is wisdom. And this is the best witness for him to those outside Christ, that they may see Christ in us. So Spurgeon says, the fear of God is the cornerstone of all blessedness. And what is this fear? It is a disposition to give utmost reverence and regard to God in one's life. This is one who lives a life of holiness, a life where he chooses to put God first. So when we would choose to put God first in our lives, that's the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Where do we find that practical wisdom? When we would practically do what God commanded us to do. His praise endureth forever. Such is the blessing of the man who walks with God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, we would need to truly follow him, to draw near to God, not only with our lips, but with our hearts. So if we do so, here the Lord tells us that it is the beginning of wisdom for us. Life begins that way. And in Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of God is also defined as to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth. And King Solomon lived this life, earthly life, to the fullest. And he summed up that godly life, that blessed life, when he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the Lord tells us to look at the man who is blessed of God. Well, this man, if you look at him in Psalm 128, verse 4, he is a spirit-filled man. The word gever in verse 4, the word man there, is a special word that is used to describe the purest and most perfect example of a spirit-filled Christian. This man is described for us in Psalm 37 and verse 23 as the good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. The fear of God enables a man to honor God and to honor our fellow men. Thus, there will be peace in the home and in the nation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The God-fearer knows he needs God at all times and in all circumstances and will resort to him. And so walk in wisdom. Walk in the ways of God. And he understands he's a sinner and needs the blood of Christ to wash away his sins. There is a genuine fear in the heart, not taught by human authority, not enforced by human, but only by the laws and ways of the Lord. So the fear of the Lord has no torment. It's outworking. It's a godly life, a holy life, walking according to God's requirements. And there is an urgency in our witness, redeeming the time. We may not meet the person again, or this may be the last opportunity for witness. Let us not be detracted or distracted from our work for him on earth that will bring glory to his name. How will we do so? Well, by winning souls. Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. Jesus says that the Christian is to be salt and light. And so, of course, he tells us from the beginning, right, that we are to set our affections on things above and not things on earth. And setting our things, our life upon the things of heaven, he delineated for us concerning what we are to do in the various aspects of life. Right? We spent at length. We spoke about family life. We spoke about work life. And here we speak about a life as a witness beyond the four doors of your home, beyond the workplace. Here we are speaking about what God has for his people, to be light and salt for him. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? If salt is not salty, then it is not performing its function. It's to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so the urgency of the work is indeed the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the believer to understand the work before us. Well, Jesus, before he went to the cross, he prayed. In John 17, verse 9, he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And Martin Lloyd-Jones observed, he says, well, the work that the church is being entrusted by Christ to evangelize, why does our Lord pray for his people? Well, he was going to the cross, yet he pauses to pray for them. He did so because of his concern for the glory of God. He has come to glorify the Father. And that is that one thing he wants to do above everything else, to bring honor to the Father in his obedience to go to the cross. And he prays for them because they are the people to whom God has manifested his name, and the people who have been given to him. And most of all, he prays for them because of their task and their calling. In other words, we are placed here on earth for a reason, a task that God has placed us here for his glory. And and we need to know so that we are not distracted from the work that we ought to be doing. He's going away and he's leaving them in the world to do something. They have work to do exactly as he had been given work to do. And God sent him, he sends them, and thus he sends us. And he prays for his disciples, especially in the light of their calling and task, the work of evangelizing. The work of evangelizing. There are other people who are going to believe on him through their word. And so they must be enabled to do this work. And here, you'd realize that the gospel work is so multifaceted. We contribute to the gospel work in different ways as God enables us. And in the different ways, the gospel work progresses. And he also prays for them because of their circumstances. The circumstances in which they are placed in the world. He says that they are going to have trouble in the world. John 17, verse 14. If you are living for Christ, if you are obeying the commandments of God, Christ says, I have given them thy word. And the world hath hated them. So, if we are living in the world, and the world loves us, then here is a misnomer. Misnomer. Because Christ tells us that if we are living for Christ, then the world will not love us. The world will hate us because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And the Lord wants us to see and know, as he had taught us, to help us to understand this work that he wants us to do for him. And indeed, walking in wisdom requires us to trust God, to follow him, to walk with him the way that he wants us to walk. We have a chorus that was given to us by our late pastoral advisor, Dr. Toh. It's called Launch Out into the Deep. Launch Out into the Deep. And we were have the music for this chorus. Launch out into the deep. We will try to the disciples were following the Lord Jesus, and they were fishermen, and they went out fishing and they caught nothing, and they came back, washed their nets, and the Lord said to them, launch out again. And there they caught the whole net full. Launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep, oh, heed the Master's call. Launch out, heed the Master's call. Give Him your best, your all. Launch out into the deep, oh, heed the Master's call. Let down your net for a draught. Give Him your best, your all. Fear not, let down your nets. Henceforth you shall catch men. Fear not, let down your nets. You will catch men as fish. Here is the encouragement for us. Peter were fishermen, and together with his buddies, and the Lord said to them that you have a higher work to catch men. And when we think about it, you would see that there is indeed a cause. For Paul says to us, Paul says to us, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That wisdom that God gives to us, it's an understanding concerning the souls of men and women that are still outside the kingdom of God. And here, there is an urgency for us to look at it. And there is another chorus, another hymn by the title, The Last, Last Hour. We shall sing this also. The Last, Last Hour. The sunset burns in western sky. Upon the air a warning cry. The siren wails from tower to tower. O brethren, this the last, last hour. The souls that Christians might have won now crowd the hour of setting sun. Publisher brought his saving name to ends of earth, Christ's power proclaim. For dying souls, my brethren, weep. O tardy workers, go and reap. Forsake the world and all its fun. The battle must be fought and won. Hark, hear his footsteps on the way. Oh, work burn out while it is day. constrained by love, endued with power. O brethren, in this last hour. Then the response. Our loved ones do we bring to God, in prayer pleading for their souls. For His great mercy that we hope, that heaven be our blessed hope. Then, brethren, let us do His will, to give the gospel of His love to those we love dear in our hearts, that day of parting be not hard. A better place that we would go, His wondrous glory we will behold. There be no tears, no pain to endure. This is the home that's so secure. The sunset burns in western sky. Upon the air, a warning cry. As man builds tower and man destroys tower, where we see this 20 years ago, during the time when, well, in America, the Twin Towers were taken down. And today, we see in the horizon of the western skies how rockets and missiles are disturbing the peace of this world again. And how can there be peace? Only when the hearts of men are won over by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would be subdued by the power of God. And one more hymn, this one, Burn Out for Jesus. Well, here the Lord bids us to walk in wisdom. In other words, you know, the people of God seem to be going against the grind of society. You don't follow the norm. You are not in the rat race. You don't want to get the gain that you know will disappoint you. And so here, this is the perspective. Burn out for Jesus. Burn out for Jesus.
His values in view. May I burn out each day for Jesus, with eternity's values in view. All the days they are fleeting away, Lord. Oh, the days, they are fleeting away. May I burn out each day for Jesus. Oh, the days, they are fleeting away. See the signs of His glorious appearing. See the signs of His glorious return. May I burn out each day for Jesus. Soon He comes in the clouds of the sky.
candles for Christ, meat for burning, to give light for God. Well, Paul says to us, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Indeed, as Octavius Winslow said well, time is a solemn and priceless gift and involves a responsibility and account of a most tremendous character. It is the preface of eternity. Brief, it is true, yet as the preface indicates the character of the volume, so the present is the foreshadowing in each one's history of the future. In other words, what we do now has an impact upon what our future will be. Our short time and the eternity to come. Time is a feather falling from the pinion, we said, the bird's wing of eternity. As it sweeps on in its boundless, endless course, hurrying us with rapid flight to that eternity where it came. What sin, what madness. Then to abuse a privilege so solemn, to misuse a blessing so precious, to employ it in vain pleasures and frivolous pursuits, and to use it in senseless puerilities, childish, immature behaviors, sinful engagements, to devote it too absorbingly, even to literary and elegant pursuits. The studies of equitarians, the researches of the historian, the fascination of art, the discoveries of science may verge upon the crime of robbing God of one of his most costly loans. Time. When we would spend time, indulge ourselves in those things that doesn't matter in the final analysis. We ought to esteem time very precious because we are uncertain of its continuance. Isn't it so true? Right? We don't know what life will be for us tomorrow. Today we may be well, but what is it will be tomorrow? We know that it is very short, but we know not how short. We know not how little it remains, whether a year or several years or a month or a week or a day. Those whom we know last year are no longer with us this year. And we are every day uncertain whether that day will be the last, whether we are to have the whole day. There is nothing that experience doth verify than this. How much more would many men prize their time? So Paul says, redeem the time. If they knew they had but a few months or a few days. And sometimes God allows us to go through that kind of a understanding that indeed time is coming to an end. And certainly a wise man will prize his time the more, since he know not but that it will be so with himself. So time is very precious because when it's past, it cannot be recovered. There are many things that men possess, which if they part with, they can obtain them again. But time, when it's lost, it is lost forever. So the word redeem means to buy up. To buy up for one's self, for one's use. Redemption, therefore, is a purchase. Christ purchased us. When the Lord Jesus redeemed us with his precious blood, he made a down payment on his purchase of our souls. What did he do? Well, he gave himself for us. So to redeem the time is to make most use of our time. It means to make sacred use of every opportunity to doing good. It is as if our zeal for doing well is the purchase money by which we buy back the time and make it our own. To buy back the time is to redeem. To redeem is to make good use of our time. So Solomon says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And, well, we would end with another hymn, which we would sing without music. It is the hymn, "Did You Think to Pray?" What is the greatest endeavor that the children of God can do? It is to pray. And the hymn here, "Did You Think to Pray?" Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rest a weary, prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When you met with great temptation, did you think to pray? By his dying love and merit, did you claim the Holy Spirit as your guide and stay? Oh, how praying rests the weary, prayer will change the night to day. When life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When your heart was filled with anger, did you think to pray? Did you plead for grace, my brother, that you might forgive another who had crossed your way? Oh, how praying rests a weary, prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. When sore trials come upon you, did you think to pray? When your soul was bowed in sorrow, balm of Gilead did you borrow at the gates of day? Oh, how praying rests a weary, prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Paul says, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. Withal, pray also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us to understand thy holy will and help us to do thy bidding. For thy own name's sake, grant us understanding. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.